What's up, everyone? Josh here. Just want to let you know that we had some problems with recording. For the most part, it had went okay, but when we merged the audio from the recording, it looks like we have some overlapping, almost kind of like interruptions that were not present at the time we did record. So just something weird happened with the audio there. And then near the end, apparently our audio cut out completely between each other, and so you'll hear a dueling conversation with us two where neither of us were privy to the other talking. And then finally Alan cuts out completely, even though he was still showing in the Zencaster little chat room. His audio was completely gone. He couldn't hear me, I couldn't hear him, and the recorded aspect of it just ends. And so it's kind of a messy recording all around, but I wanted to give you a heads up in case you're like, God, Josh was being really rude to Alan, just constantly cutting him off, or apparently these two just don't want to hear each other talk, so they're just having their own conversation separately. It's not how it was in the actual recording, so yeah, just want to give you all a heads up as to what was going on, and hopefully in the future we don't have those issues again. Until then, here's us discussing DC Comics, both recent, past, and current stuff, and hope you like it. Thanks.
It's time! It's time! It's
Hyper Time to Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, into the Hyper Time, the Hyper Time to Podcast. And we are still here on the hiatus, but we wanted to get together because there are some things on our mind that we want to talk about. And to introduce us to our topic for today is not me, Josh Miller, but no, my Hyper Time host, Alan Muir. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm feeling hopeful.
Hopeful in because general?
The reign of terror is over. By the time this comes out, this is technically old news, but recording has been a bit difficult lately. Yeah. And as you can tell by the title of the episode, we're going to be talking about the current state of DC Comics and just DC as a whole after the news of Warner Brothers being bought. Or after AT&T sold Warner Brothers wholesale to Discovery.
Which feels like that's been one of those things that has been rumored for a while, that AT&T was going to get rid of Warner Brothers or piecemeal DC Comics or something along those lines for like the last few years now.
Yeah. I just couldn't get away from everyone, like all the people out there saying, Joe is just being really, really full of themselves, saying that Marvel is going to buy DC Comics. Every time I hear something like that, you know that, you've seen The Flash season two, right?
I have
right?
not.
Okay. There's a look, and it's very fitting I bring up The Flash season, this particular scene, because it has to do with The Flash currently. The season two opener, The Man Who Saved Central City, a certain character gets killed off in the episode and is responsible for saving Central City, and said character, the last look they give before doing the thing that kills them, is like, and that like the particular face that the actor makes is how I feel when every time something like this, or that whole thing would get brought up.
I was wondering if you were going to bring up the one I've seen like a meme on recently, where it's Flash and I think there's someone else running alongside of him.
Oh yeah,
he, like, looks back. And
just this yes. The scream. Yeah, actually, that is the from episode 100 where Barry and Nora, his daughter, are in the Speed Force, and I think a Time Wraith comes after them. And it was, I think it was like, I'm pretty sure it was an outtake because the way that scream, that scream is done, just
yeah, pure it's comedy. Too good. It's too good.
But yeah, April 14th of this year, 2022, Variety had the exclusive story of Warner Brothers Discovery exploring a possible overhaul of DC Entertainment. And CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, David Zaslav, has been, I'm just going to quote the article. He, along with the top leadership, have been toying with the idea of turning DC into its own solidified content vertical. And this would basically be the equivalent of having DC get their own Marvel Studios, so to speak. Because when you think of excluding Image in terms of like the top three in the current, like in the sales markets with comics, it's Marvel and usually DC or Image. Yep. And Zaslav wants to find a Kevin Feige, or as a basically a creative and strategic czar, as it's referred to in the article.
Which is weird, because I feel like Geoff Johns was kind of put in that position years ago, which...
I mean, technically he is, but it's only, he's doing more, I mean, like he was, a lot of this was happening when he was still at DC, when he was put in charge of DC Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like, if I recall correctly, he was made overall president of DC Entertainment. Right. But then a little bit after that, he left DC altogether and formed his own company, or his own production company, which he's been doing like basically every DC show that's been out, minus select ones like Peacemaker or Naomi. He's been involved in like most of the Arrowverse shows, Titans, Doom Patrol. And when I initially thought of this whole thing, I realized that that Greg Berlanti would be the perfect person for this. Like, if you give Berlanti control of, I mean, the Arrowverse, I might as well mention this now because it's more recent news, that Legends of Tomorrow and Batgirl, or not Batgirl, Batwoman have both been canceled, which is, well, I wasn't really watching Batwoman, but Legends, they literally just introduced Booster Gold.
Aww.
And they had set up on a cliffhanger.
You know, I feel like Batwoman was just having a lot of problems behind the scenes with the actress, right?
Well, actually, Batwoman season 1 to season 2 was more of an improvement.
Hmm.
Because Ruby Rose left the show in season 2 and was actually replaced when the character of Kate Kane came back. And ironically, was replaced by one of the leads from Krypton. And yeah, from everything that was put out was basically that it was a nightmare with her. But I don't know. I'm not gonna say something that, since I don't really know anything about what was going on there, so I'm not gonna make a offhand comment.
Yeah, I don't really know what was going on. Just that it was constantly big news for a little while there as to like what was going on, because I want to say she had like gotten injured and then. Yeah,
she was doing a stunt and she could have been paralyzed, like quadriplegic paralyzed.
And then didn't she like take time away to, I don't know if it was heal up or just like get her bearings again. And they were pushing to basically telling her she has to work or they're going to find someone else, or I can't remember how that all went down.
It was a bit of both from what I remember. I think it was a mutual, like, agreement to part ways, but the big takeaway from recent successes at DC with things like Peacemaker, things like Superman and Lois, which despite airing on CW, was HBO Max, is technically a HBO Max funded series, so it also explains why there's not really much of a tie to the Arrowverse, like the larger Arrowverse. And films such as Suicide Squad, and I think that's it in terms of most like recent live action films from DC.
That sounds right. That have so far released. I know the stuff is coming out, but
there's and then there's this whole stuff going on with Ezra Miller.
Yeah,
the stuff going on with Amber Heard, and it's currently going on. Like, is it still an act? Well, probably it was going on before we started this topic, and probably will still be going on after we're done with this. This is very typical of me. I just remembered that the biggest film that they've released in quite a while was The Batman.
Oh yeah, I still haven't seen that. I really want to though.
I can't take that movie seriously. Not due to the film being like, I played Batman the Telltale series, and that's more or less this game, or not this game, this movie, but less, no Two-Face, no Archer style looking Batman or Archer looking Bruce Wayne. But going back to the thing, Zaslav believes that this whole thing is hinged on DC Comics, like the characters, like their the pantheon of their characters, like unlocking the whole potential a lot. And perhaps the biggest comment made was characters, top shelf characters such as Superman have been left to languish and need to be revitalized. And they also believe that projects like Todd Phillips' Joker, which I didn't see that either because I'm just not a fan of that.
No interest in saying that.
That's a good example to them of how second build characters from the DC library can and should be exploited. And because Joker's related is mentioned, Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is an example as well. Which, yeah, that is her role now.
She is Harley Quinn for a good amount of people now. So let me ask you this about their movies. Do you prefer the kind of, I don't want to say one and done, but the more focused, like not as large scale universe type of approach? Or do you want them to go Marvel and try and keep everything connected and maybe touch on a world outside of their movie?
Well, do you remember
Justice League Mortal? Oh, the one with George Miller?
Yeah, the original plan was to was more or less the same plan that they went with the DCEU, where it was Justice League Mortal was going to release. Then from that, they'd spawn solo outings. And due to the 2006-2007 writer's strike, or was it 2006-2007? Or maybe 2007-2008. There were a lot of casualties as a result, and that was one of the big ones. And the cast of, like, the proposed cast, or, like, the initial cast was interesting. Like, Adam Brody as Barry Allen, Common as Jon Stewart. To some people, that may be a joke. Like, they may just think that's funny. I actually really want to see that because Common has proved himself as a really good actor. I mean, the man was in Wanted and the Wanted game as two separate characters. But more or less, that's a topic for another day. If honestly, after the MCU saga, like the Thanos saga or the Infinity Stone saga, I mentioned this in the Slack chat. I am burnt out big time. Like I didn't finish No Way Home, or No Way Home, Far From Home. I haven't watched No Way Home yet. All the shows, the only one I watched to completion was Loki, but that was because it's good Doctor Who at a time where current Doctor Who is not the best. And another example of like, when DC was on fire with the DCAU, back in the 90s, early 2000s. They were firing on virtually all cylinders, like both animation-wise, storytelling-wise, with both, like with the interconnected TV shows, the mixture of retellings of comic book storylines, like Death of Superman, mm-hmm. or All-Star Superman, and the mixture of different concepts, like Justice League Doom, taking Tower of Babel and mixing it with Legion of Doom from Super Friends. But with after Justice League Unlimited ended, things kind of went sour. But to be fair, at a certain point, things just went sour for children's animation or animation targeted for kids and all ages. The prime example being when Young Justice got canceled after season two due to low toy sales, which I get it was a factor of the past. It shouldn't be a factor at the time, which, God, that was over 10 years ago. But what I'm trying to get to is in 2013, before, I think it was before Man of Steel came out, or yeah, it was either 2012, 2013, or maybe been 2011, that far back, they ended the DCAU with Flashpoint Paradox and then started the other DCAU with Justice League War, and just
that was more focused on like the new 52. Yeah,
that lasted longer than new 52.
Yes,
which is just
because they did what the Apocalypse or War or whatever.
Justice League Dark Apocalypse War
19.
Yeah, but I think so. Which that's five or 6 years, and New 52 lasted 4.5, maybe 5.
Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, May 5th, 2020.
Oh God, yeah, that's definitely not good. And honestly, DC animation is in a much better place currently. Yes, Young Justice, the current fate of that show is in. No one knows the fate of that show. Not even the showrunner, Greg Wiseman.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I've heard like nobody talk about the new Young Justice stuff.
Young Justice. Okay, so just to give a little background for people who weren't in on the ground level with DC Universe, like I was, and by ground level, I mean was following it since it got announced. Titans was one of the selling points of DC Universe. Like DC Universe app, but it was Young Justice season 3 Phantoms, which Affleck was the bomb in, by the way. Just I don't know if you knew that. Young Justice season 3 was the big selling point for mainstream it was Titans, for the hardcore it was Young Justice, and eventually like they didn't choose. I don't think it was the best. They released it the best way, like with by splitting it 10 and 10, with half season coming out in like periodically over the course of a big gap of time, and then waiting a large while for the other half. But they introduced characters such as I want to say Geo-Force, the Terra's brother?
Yes, the can't remember if he's king, but yeah, like the Markovia, yes.
Yeah. And they were doing like there was a lot of world building happening, like with like of course the big I won't spoil it, like the big thing that happened in season 2 that broke people's hearts, or a thing that happened in season 4 that broke people's hearts. Or actually, may have been season 3. Time is a social construct that is feels like it's breaking down. But with the death of the DC animated universe, or the DC New 52 animated universe, in which we got the assumption that Barry would be running back and just creating a paradox again to end the tragic fate of everyone else who survived. We got the JSA film on HBO Max, which I don't know if you saw it.
I have not seen. I've only seen that one clip of Wonder Woman kicking some ass.
Oh, beating up the Nazis. Yeah. The animation is perfection. Like that art style, that design style, is everything I want in a comic book, and it's everything I want in general. And I won't spoil the movie because it's worth it, because there are some twists involving what's going on and certain characters who aren't what you think they are. Then there was the Javon mentioned it in the Facebook chat, the Green Lantern Beyond Power animated film focusing on Jon Stewart.
Finally, it's about time.
There are people who grew up with, and I'm one of those people, with Jon Stewart as their personal Green Lantern,
which is why it's so surprising that it's taken this long for him to get like his own movie.
Yeah, I mean, with Hal.
I mean, Hal had his own animated movie. He was pretty sure he was part of that.
He had two animated movies, Green Lantern First Flight and Emerald Warriors or Emerald Knights.
Yeah, and that was the, like, I want to say anthology, but I don't think that's the right word I'm looking for.
No, it was.
Yeah, like different Green Lanterns. But yeah, like even like just throughout the whole like new 52 animated era, it was all Hal Jordan all the time.
Yeah, and the rare times we get, like, even though I'm not one of those Restore the Thunderverse people, but I don't want the Thunderverse at all. I don't. The fact that Jon Stewart was going to be in that movie, in the role that ultimately went to Martian Manhunter. I have a feeling that it has to do with that Green Lantern show that HBO Max is working on. But yeah, we need more Jon Stewart in our lives.
Meanwhile, the Kyle Rayner fans, like myself out there, just continue to get shortchanged.
I mean, he was on that episode of Justice League Unlimited back in like 15 years ago. So there's something there. Okay, but I want to move this along so we're not here for an eternity. I just want to just explain why I'm excited that the end of this horrible era of DC is over. And I'm not saying it's an end of this horrible era in terms of storytelling, like of comics wise, more of negligent ownership and ownership referring to AT&T. Back in August of 2020, it was the worst it would ever was, in my opinion, as a quarter of the company was let go.
Yeah, I think that was kind of like huge red flags for everybody. Like, what is going on? What is the future of DC? Like, none of us knew what to expect at that point.
Yeah, like this whole thing, they literally let go back in this 2 years ago. But Adam Phillips, Fletcher Jufong, Vince Letario, like AT&T's management of DC was complete mismanagement. And it got to a point when I temporarily stopped reading comics, like physical comics. I was still reading through like digitally, but since that's now FUBAR as well, I'm now back to like my bed is covered in comics right now. But yeah, it got to a point where, like, they dropped Diamond, partnered with a different company, dropped them, and I think did the same thing again. Where, like, 5 years ago, if I wanted to find out what would be out for Marvel, DC, Image, Top Cow, and I know I just dated that whole thing by mentioning Top Cow, I'd just go to Previews World, and yeah, DC, and I think DC now is, I want to say Penguin Random House. But yeah, it got to a point where I'm pretty sure they let go of the person who's in charge of solicitations. So, like every month I'd look forward to comics, all of DC comics coming out in some month. And it would just be so just disorganized. And it's just, I can't believe, I mean, and then there's the whole Danadio getting, like, or leaving. Some people theorize that it was a firing, or he was fired, but then quit, which I doubt because he still had his Metal Men series come out on time. Like I think the last issue of Metal Men, I think I mentioned it on here. Did you read the final issue of that miniseries?
I did not. I don't think I actually read his later Metal Men series. I know pretty much every time he's written something, whether it was OMAC or I think he wrote Metal Men for Wednesday Comics and stuff. Like, I've always liked what he's written. Just I didn't always agree with the stuff he did when he wasn't writing.
Well, he is in the Metal Men. Is he? Yeah, he's in the issue. I think he's a bartender. But that leads to the thing that was going to, the big thing that was scheduled for 2019 into 2020 before the pandemic happened, which was the rumored, every time we go to Bleeding Cool, it'd be something about 5G, which was going to be the relaunch of DC's continuity in the way that the New 52 was, in the way that Rebirth was, and the biggest, whereas the former two were, first is changing the timeline for the first time, like doing a soft reboot, for the first time since 1986, and then with Rebirth, pulling in a bit of an Infinite Crisis, whereas there was a 20-year gap between those, like between Crisis and Infinite Crisis, everything that was like the New 52 to Rebirth was, like I said, 4.5 years, and at different conventions in 2019, I think it was New York Comic Con was the big one. There was a timeline. It was supposed to be in the Free Comic Book Day stuff for 2020, and as it says here, until a million copies were pulped.
And the fact like nothing ever leaked was such a surprise. Because I would love see like what was all in there.
I mean, there was a plan. I mean, to get to from 5G or get from Rebirth or DC Universe at that point to 5G, and if I'm correct, which most of the time I'm not, as I tend to be, I'm not spreading false information. I'm unknowingly spreading information that I think I'm right about that I tend to be wrong. I think I'm just wrong. The Flash Forward miniseries that Scott Lobdell wrote, which took place after the events of Heroes in Crisis, had Wally West, who was both the symbol for the Rebirth and anti-Rebirth, considering what he did in Heroes in Crisis. He was a six issue mini. He was in jail, I think in Iron Heights or Bell Rev, and he gets deputized, so to speak, by Tempest Fugonaut, which I'm still seeing things in comic book groups, like Facebook groups, about Tempest Fugonaut. And it was having, like, Tempest was having Wally go to different points in the multiverse to find a, like, something was threatening time, and said time and, like, the multiverse and all that were Jay and Iris, Wally's kids. And the story ends with, like, the whole story ends with Jay and Iris being reunited with Linda Park. And Wally ends up, if I remember correctly, he ends up with the Monitor's chair. I mean, not the Monitor. Metron's chair. And he also, it's Metron's chair with that's imbued with the powers and, like, also the power stuff of Dr. Manhattan, because at the end of Darkseid War, Metron and Owlman both die, or they're both killed, and or they're killed. They're Rorschach'd. Yep. That's the best way I could say it.
By the same person too.
Yeah, and I don't know if you read this one. There's also a little a monthly like series going on at the same time. Tales from the Dark Multiverse.
I liked that series,
where it was taking iconic events or storylines, and where it would normally take a left, it would take a hard right, with like, for example, Nightfall, instead of, or basically every it was going to be,
it was like
Tempest Fugonaut recruiting people, like the champions of each story, to serve in a crisis event that would cause a new status quo refresh for the DC universe, and that was going to lead into Death Metal, but thank God Scott Snyder. I don't know if it was Scott Snyder, like just saying, like I don't know if it was like a Sam Raimi thing. Based on interviews I've seen of Scott Snyder, I can't imagine that would be the case. But I know there was some stuff going on. And from what I remember, the big thing of the 5G timeline would have been Wonder Woman debuting during World War II, Superman, Batman later on, but then everyone would age in real time for that moment. And they were going to age up all the mainstay characters and have the legacy characters take over. And we'd have 5G or Generation 5.
What's your overall feelings about that?
I'm glad it didn't happen. Like,
I think it would be like an interesting multiverse story.
I mean, there are some, like, we technically got, I mean, we got all the stories that were going to happen with that, with Future State, which that was, I mean, I think that was always planned initially for, I think I've brought this also up before, with when I mentioned Convergence as DC's, we need a bit of a break while we move offices, like moving across the country, and for like 2 months from like May to June, or from a certain, or I think it began in June and July and ended that month too. It was basically just, it was a bad story. Like the mini series stuff were great, even though there were only 2 issues, but we got things like the return of the JSA, the proper JSA, even though it was only Hawkman, Jay Garrick, and like, it was only a few, it wasn't the Trinity at that time of Wildcat, Green Lantern, and Jay Garrick. And I honestly haven't read any of the Future State books, even though I own all of them.
Yeah, I think I tried reading a few of them, and yeah, they're good. But
the one I remember reading, like I definitely remember reading, was the Wally West Parallax storyline, where that is exactly how it is. Like, it's pretty much it's the Flash version of the Green Lantern, like the Hal Jordan as Parallax storyline from Convergence. Yeah. But there's no, like, I have a feeling that if Convergence happened in the 80s, we could have gotten some cool toys out of it, especially the Captain Marvel stuff, because it was basically Secret Wars.
Yeah, I'm honestly kind of surprised that we haven't seen, because like DC has their action figure line that they currently do.
DC Direct.
What was that?
DC Direct.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of like, I know they've done like stuff on, you know, Dark Metal and, you know, some of the just stories they've done over the years, like Dark Knight Returns, and anytime there's a movie out.
Actually, but I think DC, the head of DC Collectibles for DC Direct, also like DC Direct, aka DC Collectibles, I think that person was let go too during the pandemic, or during the, I think it was during, basically during when they cut quarter staff. But I'm later on in at Fandome 2021. Jim Lee confirmed that, more or less confirmed, 5G was dead. The exact wordage Lee confirmed DC won't be publishing a comic or event called 5G, nor are there plans to perform a sweeping overhaul of DC's continuity, a la 2011's New 52 relaunch. And there was something that I was interested in, which I'm not sure if it ever came to fruition, or at least I didn't talk to you about it because I didn't understand what the ending of it was supposed to be. The two generations specials.
Oh, uh-huh.
I wasn't sure what they meant by like with the end with 1930s Batman.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what DC was planning on doing with that.
Yeah.
Like, it formed a whole other, timeline, sort of. I'm trying to think of what it was called. God dang, I'll have to look it up.
Because I know that the main characters are put back in their own time, but specifically Bob Kane, Batman, is given the chance to... They basically just say, you can come back here anytime you want, like this time. Which I still, to this day, have no idea what that meant.
Let's see here. The Linearverse.
Yes.
That's what it was called.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that was predating the Omniverse.
Yeah, when Matt Ryder takes Batman to his timeline, he reveals that the timeline is more like a Linearverse, where characters age far more slowly, which allows their legacy to live on forever. Yeah, I'm sitting here going through this timeline, which is now not loading up for me because, of course, why would it? And, it's interesting that they're trying to put everything within, a 70-year time frame. But at the same time, looking at some of the ages, without reading everything, stuff doesn't line up. I'm seeing, Bruce is, let me see. Where is it here? Where was it? Bruce is 22 years old in 1965 when him and Superman show up. And then in 2009, which is, 45 years later, he's only 50. So it's I understand the idea of aging up characters, and I think it could lead to very interesting things. I mean, you figure stuff like we wouldn't have Nightwing if Dick Grayson never aged. We wouldn't have Wally West as the Flash if he never aged, and all this kind of stuff that is kind of dependent on the ages, but you're also taking many liberties with characters' ages and when they're de-aged and all of the stuff as it is, that it kind of is why even bother trying to shoehorn all this together when even in your own history of laying everything out, which you should have done back before New 52 happened, that you're not really willing to stick with any of it. You're willing to change kind of willy-nilly to suit your own plot purposes or story purposes, and I don't know. This is this whole breakdown of everything from 1938 to 2019 or whatever it is. This is what people were asking about when before New 52 released. People were like, do you guys know what the history is? Do you know what, the whole...
Again, just to remember, just to call back to your interview with Dan Jurgens, when he mentions certain things, there are certain things that were explained. For example, Hal and Oliver's personal history, friendship and stuff, because he was writing Green Arrow at the time, him and another writer took over for J.T. Krull.
Was it Diggle?
Yeah, him.
I didn't read Green Arrow. I'm trying to remember, picture in my head the Green Arrow books. I'll look it up here.
Oh, it was from early in New 52 when things tended to go south. Dan Jurgens and Keith Giffen were put on a book. They were put on Green Arrow. After that, didn't go well, which... Yeah, they got put on,
there was a lot of turnover. They also got for that first year of New 52.
First year and a half, they got put on the Superman book because that got panned, even though it's It's not. I don't think it's any of their faults. If anything, the continuity situation with the Superman book and Action mm-hmm. Comics was not the best. With because I remember they stuck to that thing of there's like a 5-year time gap, or there's not a time gap. There's a 5-year, or there's like one's going to be ahead of the other, one's going to be behind the other, and certain characters. When Keith Giffen and Dan Jurgens took over Green Arrow, that was before Ann Nesenti came in. And then with Superman, that was before Andy Diggle came in. And also with perhaps the one that still hurts the most, Green Lantern Corps and Flash. For Green Lantern Corps, when Tomasi and Gleason left, Van Jensen came mm-hmm. in on both Green Lantern Corps and Flash, and I couldn't stand to read that book or either of those books.
Well, since you brought up Superman, I have been researching for a George Perez episode that I wanted to do. Ideally, I will finish it and we can record it before anything happens with him.
That may be the first, or no, it's not going to be the first. I'm going to cry when the day comes. We have to do that.
So episode. Yeah, I was doing research on him, and one of the things that had come up was New 52 and Superman, and so I'm just going to read a little bit I had taken up here. George Perez was the writer of a new Superman series for the New 52. However, less than a year later, he left the book. His reasoning was, like so much of the New 52, multifaceted. Editorial would constantly make his time working on it troublesome, requiring rewrites. With no explanations, the current status quo of Superman not being hammered down, were the Kents still alive, for instance, and restrictions due to what was happening in the Action Comics series that Grant Morrison hadn't really drawn out for others to know what was going on, thus affecting what couldn't be done in the series taking place in the present day. So yeah.
Based on speculation with what was supposed to happen with Superman with 5G, everything I've seen was he was going to become basically Injustice Superman.
Stupid. So damn stupid.
But then Grant Morrison came in and fixed it, like they do mm-hmm. all the time with DC Comics. And I haven't read Philip Kennedy Johnson's current Action Comics stuff. I have heard Adam Talking Superman, the Twitter account, is constantly posting good stuff about that book. Just like a particular one was Philip PKJ submitting a story, like I think it was like it was some funny gif. Just like with like nailing it without any effort. And I'm gonna bring it up here because I want to bring it up because I recently started reading the book, Superman Son of Kal-El. I mentioned it on an episode of Players Club, in which I chose to, instead of, I only played one game that week we recorded, and just talked about one game. And then as for the second part, I just talked about Superman Son of Kal-El number one and another book. I liked it.
Is that the Tom Taylor?
Yeah, Tom Taylor, John Kent, Superman book. When I first heard the rumors that, I think it was Bleeding Cool, or CBR, or comicbook.com, just saying that the Superman title was going to be retitled to Superman Son of Kal-El, I wasn't expecting how captured the zeitgeist in all the worst ways.
Yeah, can't say I'm surprised it did what it did, but yeah.
With people using my newly hated word, being woke. I
knew that was going to be the word.
Yeah.
Because God forbid people like think about others and.
Yeah, like why have John doing protests and doing basically everything that Superman did in the 30s mm-hmm. and 40s.
How dare DC make comics political as if they haven't been political for the past like 70, 80 years.
Yeah, just you look at the comics. Look at the comics material from World War II. A lot of this episode is me just mentioning things I've mentioned on previous episodes. The piece that Siegel and Schuster did on how Superman would end World War II, it was from Look magazine, and the story of how he would end the war is just he punches down a plane in Germany, like in Nazi Germany at the time. He grabs Hitler and Stalin and takes them to the League of Nations. And it was from, Look magazine, February of 1940.
It's just dumb. Like, if you don't think comics are political, you just haven't been paying attention to comics since, like, their inception.
And, another example, which was an adaptation of a storyline from the Adventures of Superman radio series, The Clan of the Fiery Cross, or also now known as Superman Smashes the Clan.
Which I still need to read that.
Where it is so good. It's so good. Gene Luen Yang did a great job. Like the art for it looks like something out of a kid's book in all the best ways.
It looked really cool.
Usually the first issue I read on DC Universe Infinite, usually I don't make a big commitment when it comes to trying out a new series. I had the owner of my local comic book shop order the first five issues because of how much I enjoyed the first issue. And as I mentioned, my bed is covered in comics, so I'm a little behind on a lot of stuff. But there's DC is in a better place. They're actually in a darker place. I tried to segue to Dark Crisis. Dark Crisis is spinning out of a Free Comic Book Day prelude, like a special zero issue, and Dark Crisis number one will be on sale at the end of the month on May 31st. So I'm just gonna read what it said, the tease on DC Comics website. Let's hope I pronounce all this right. In the original Crisis on Infinite Earths by Marv Wolfman and George Perez, the homeworld of Pariah, along with the Infinite Multiverse, was obliterated. Now this mad soul survivor has found a way to bring his homeworld and the entire Infinite Multiverse back from the dead. Earth Zero must die. An ancient dark destructive force called the Great Darkness, first appearing in Swamp Thing by Alan Moore and Steve Wook.
I don't know how to pronounce that list.
His weapon Pry will wield as he paves the path to rebirth and vengeance. In DC's next big event, Dark Crisis, the heroes left behind must come together to combat this great evil and save the lost Justice League. But what happens when not everyone agrees to join the fight? So yeah, there's a big part of this that I'm gonna bring up because it's part of it is related to a current series going, or the current Justice League series going on. The Dark Crisis spins out of Justice League 25 or Justice League 75's Death of Justice League storyline and connects everything across the DC universe since Infinite Frontier Zero. And it says here, unifying the new legacy of the DCU as we honor the classic, you can't miss it. Part of me is hoping they'll bring the line back to 299 because God's sake, my wallet needs it.
I don't know if that'll happen.
I mean, if in the year 2017, which was depicted in the Smallville season series finale, a character who has since been poochied because of what the actor did, had a Superman comic done by Gary Frank, because that's Gary Frank's art. I know it. And it said on it, drawing the line to 299. So yeah, I anything's possible. Smallville ended over a decade ago, even though the ending that's something for a different time. Josh Williamson, who's been seemingly running everything at DC. Like, it's just, it's him, Tom Taylor, Tom King.
Yeah, basically. I remember, like, going through, like, all the comics that were currently coming out, and I'm like, oh, Josh Williamson. Again.
Josh Williamson is the new Geoff Johns in the best way. And, yeah, it says it'll have all the great, fun cosmic battles and multiversal set pieces, but it's not about reboots, retcons, or rerunning time and space. And at its core, it's about the characters and the relationships that we've built, or that we've seen built over DC's great history. And the art for, like, the different eras, like, it has the JSA, like, the great smoke effect, or smoke image of the JSA, like, the classic JSA, like, Black Canary involved.
Yeah, like, the JSA. Crisis on Two Earths crossover. Yeah.
It's something for the Free Comic Book Day special issue. Has Superman and Supergirl, Wonder Woman and Wonder Girl. It even has a character that I'm surprised that DC is acknowledging. Miss Martian.
That's what I was thinking you were looking at. I was, like, looking through all the other characters. I'm like, is there someone else here? Yeah, McGann.
And, yeah, I was gonna joke and say Connor Hawke, but no, he's doing more than McGann right now. I could have said Duke, but I didn't because I like Duke. I hope that doesn't get taken out of context. Yeah, I'm excited. I may actually there's gonna be a Justice League. I was wrong because I'm wrong all the time. Justice League Road to Dark Crisis #1 will be at local comic shops on the 31st of this month, and the creative team includes Joshua Williamson, Dan Jurgens, Philip Kennedy Johnson, Clayton Henry, Emanuela Lupacchino, Stephanie Phillips, and more. And it's, why is it that every time something big like this happens, like a big event happens, they tend to harken back to something that Alan Moore had to do?
The man who wishes they would never go back to what he does because he finds it like...
Yeah, like that Simpsons episode where it's him, I literally have his name, the creator who did Dead World. Also, basically, the League of... it's supposed to be a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen pun, but it's Alan Moore, I want to say Art Spiegel. It's Alan Moore, Art Spiegelman. I was thinking of Ghost World. Dan Klaus.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, it was... But it... And a typical, since Simpsons predicted something, when Milhouse goes to Alan Moore and says, will you sign my copy of Watchmen Babies? Mm-hmm. And which baby is your favorite? And he just goes on a rant about just how everything has been milked dry, more or less, by DC.
Yeah, he's always had an issue with
them
going back and reusing ideas instead of coming up with new ones.
Yeah, honestly, and this is actually, for me, in my opinion, it's a good thing. Not that I have no problem with them bringing back something from, like, acknowledging their past, because, or as I mentioned in the Omniverse bonus episode we did, and has since applied to everything from Infinite Frontier, or everything post Death Metal. Literally anything and everything is canon.
Which I still have issues with.
Well, there are certain things that aren't canon. Like, certain characters aren't around. Like, another example of something good coming out of, like, Infinite Frontier. I can't recall which issue it is, but it involves... it has to do with Barry being used as a tool by Psycho Pirate. And just how just the shift in, like, it's like you're seeing it from Barry's point of view. He's running, and suddenly he's back in the golden, like in the Silver Age with mm-hmm. Jay Garrick.
I like how they do the art Jay, to make it.
Yeah, like imitating yeah. The '60s. Like I'm okay with them bringing the great darkness in, because in what like in the event like the comic book event that got me into comics, although it was after the fact and after everything was wrapped up, Blackest Night,
mm-hmm.
like the prophecy that was in that was the throwaway prophecy in Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, or Tales of the Green Lantern, that Geoff Johns picked up, polished a bit, and turned into gold. And I never thought I'd be happy to see Pariah coming back.
Yeah, I'm trying to refresh my memory on how, like, what all happened with Incarnate. At the same time, I don't want to spoil anything for you, since I know you haven't finished reading it.
I'm so behind.
I am always a sucker for Crisis books. I think I've mentioned that in the past.
Yeah. Everyone loves a good Crisis.
I understand when people hate, like, tie-ins and how things can kind of get derailed in the main books and all that, but I always enjoy a big threat for everyone to get behind. And when you can tie in like the history of everything that happened in the universe, like with the Great Darkness and how it's kind of inserted itself in different ways that influenced everything in the DC universe, I'm intrigued to see where it goes, what they plan on doing with it. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how this all plays out.
Yeah. So, Justice Incarnate is basically Darkseid's machinations, the Justice Incarnate running around the multiverse. If you look for the cover to the second issue, you'll see the Earth 13 Etrigan, who is known mm-hmm. as Super Demon. And I never knew I needed something like this. I never knew I needed to read something as more as ASAP as I could about this. Also, you know how common terms and phrases stuff with certain things on Google correlating to a mm-hmm. certain book? In the same size as Darkseid, crack. just something I noticed.
I need to go back and reread this. Again, this is why I hate like monthly books, is that you have to wait. So by the time issue one comes out, between issue, say, I think it's 5 or 6, you know, it's like half a year between everything, and it's like, well, great, now I have to reread everything to remember what all happened in this series.
If I recall, the wait between Justice Incarnate 1 and, like, for example, 1 and 4 or 2 and 4 was maybe a few weeks. Like they were releasing it every set amount of weeks, and again number 4 Orion shows up, like Earth 7 Orion, and I want to bring up before we bring up the round robin stuff, because I've thoughts about that. I just want to talk about the current, like, what we generally think about where DC is at right now. No matter if we've only read one thing, if you've read 5 things or more. So I just want to, and also I want to mention that I'm really starting to dig DC's new style of handling, like the way they're handling certain series, where they'll just take, like, Blue and Gold, 8-issue miniseries, focusing on Booster Gold and Ted Kord.
They've really been into the miniseries thing recently.
It helps. It's for me, it's really easy to catch. It's easy because you read the 8 issues, it's done.
I think it's a great way to like introduce people to different characters without trying to force an ongoing series that may not succeed.
Yeah. Like another example, One Star Squadron, mm-hmm. which is, I'm not surprised. At first I was like, One Star Squadron, what's this? Then I see Mark Russell attached to it. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then there's the stuff that, like the stuff with Black Label, which I'm so glad Black Label didn't go away. When like Young Animal got cut, when all these different, like when they, like DC reorganized their different imprints. Like I haven't read it yet, because like I said, I'm still behind. Rogues.
Yeah, I haven't read it either.
It's basically Josh Williamson. It's just them going in, like it's the Rogues going in for a one last score, which is,
I like that. I like being able to tell stories that you can do like out of continuity. Just, you know, you have something on your mind, you know, it's only going to be like six issues. Sure. Why not? Let's do it.
And as put by DC, this is Rogues as you've never seen them before. Reimagined by the incredible talents of master storytellers Leo Max and Joshua Williamson, and it's like neo noir, and just like it. I mean, yeah, it's $7, but it is worth it. Like, there's something that's still, after all these years reading comics, the oversized books, like the oversized Black Label books, still get me. I feel like despite. And yeah, it's $7, like I said, but I still feel like I'm gaming the system. Also, it's 48 pages, so. And it wouldn't be a hyper time episode, hiatus bonus, or whatever, without bringing up Milestone, because Blood Syndicate, by the time this episode is out, Blood Syndicate will, season one, issue one will be out, and Hardware just wrapped up for the season, which that's, I know you said you have stuff to say about Milestone, so go ahead, you have the floor.
Yeah, so I am glad that they have continued. My fear was that they was just going to start and then they weren't going to be satisfied with what was going on and end it. So I'm glad that they've continued to like give each book their time to shine. I like that they're not flooding everything with just all Milestone. I like how it's like, you know, a little bit here, a little bit here. You know, Blood Syndicate's coming out. I'm glad they brought them back. I really hope we hear more news about the Static movie. It's good to see the Milestone label return in a way that it did. I felt like every time they've tried it in the past, it just kind of came and went. I never really felt like there was much fanfare to it. But the way they've been releasing these books and some of the talent they have on it, like, oh, that Static book looks so good. That Static book is so good. And like the designs and everything, I love everything that they have done with the Milestone stuff so far. And I hope when they don't stop, I'm hoping we continue to see some of the things that they had originally planned on doing with the, when they tried bringing it back in, what was it? Was it 2017? God, I'm bad with dates. I'm trying to think of like all the mini series, well, not mini series, all the series that they were planning on bringing out that just never saw light of day. I'm hoping they give some of those a chance again.
Part of me is worried because, I mean, I'm glad that I'm not worried about it in terms of art. Like I have no doubts about Criss Cross.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Jeffrey Thorne. Like I haven't read the Green Lantern book. Like I've seen stuff on Reddit, and again, Reddit isn't the best place to get educated opinions. Like you should talk amongst your peers about that. But I think I saw something saying that Jeffrey Thorne is ruining Green Lantern, which is Hal's Emerald Action Team all over again.
Yeah, I'm Googling Jeffrey Thorne here just to see what comes up. I feel like there was something I remember hearing, I think last year at some point, about. I'm not going to say anything because if I'm wrong, it would be paint him in a very bad light. That is not something you want to be wrong about. But I thought I remember hearing some stuff about, I don't know, takes on characters that were very bad. Jeffrey Thorne has no idea what the death of Justice League is and sounds like he doesn't know if he'll keep writing Green Lantern. Reddit, January 21st. Yeah, it seemed like back in January he seemed kind of unsure about whether or not he would keep writing Green Lantern. I don't know. You there, Alan?
No, I just, I got, I got confused by something that which I was, it was two different Jeffrey Thorns. One of the things that came up was, why did Jeffrey Thorne leave in the heat of the night? I'm like, what? What? That show was like 40 years ago. Yeah. But just to go back to Milestone, I saw it like I know that. Yeah, I've been reading Icon and Rocket, or Rocket and Icon, depending on how you. I didn't read everything. Like I've yet to read everything. Like I haven't bought the Milestone compendium yet. So I'm still waiting for the right time.
Yeah, like I started reading Hardware and Static, and then I'm like, no, I'm going to wait for the seasons to finish up because I'd rather read these all at once as opposed to the like monthly releases.
Yeah, I noticed that at least with mainly with Static, I was having a certain problem with the series that I was. It took me a moment to realize that, oh wait, no, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with the series. I'm just getting confused with. I'm thinking I want this to be more like the cartoon, which that's the cartoon. Well, the cartoon is
like that. That's your. That's I kind of want static.
That's my static. Like there's a podcast you could probably find on the internet of me and Javon talking about, like Javon bringing up the static. Like this was I'm not gonna say what podcast it was on, but it was from the last 5 years. It was a DC Connect Static Shock or Static like figure, and it was his Milestone outfit. I'm sorry, DC Direct, like his straight up Milestone Dennis Cowan design. More specifically, his DC Icons figure.
Yeah, his more like one piece, no jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. And just me and Javon, just like, what is this? What is this stuff? This isn't static. And I just wish I could go back and punch myself in the face. Like, or just at least without causing time to break, just shake myself and just go, that's, you got it all wrong. That's not how it is. You're misinformed. I doubt this is going to, I honestly doubt this is going to go the way of Wildstorm. Like the failed, or the, I don't know if it'd be the best thing to call, or I don't know if it would be best to call that failed, because it wasn't a failure of the artist, it was a failure of Warren Ellis because of what happened to them. Because there's at least, there's the Wildstorm and there's the Wildstorm Michael Craig or something. Like that. I know there were at least two books going for a brief period.
I'm trying to remember. I wish I was more into Wildstorm back then. I always liked the look of the characters and everything. I just never picked up any of the books.
Oh, actually, it's fitting I brought up Wildstorm because this book I did read. It was a 4-issue miniseries by Grant Morrison, Superman and the Authority.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's Grant Morrison just getting it right because they always get it right. I was surprised at how it began with, because, as I've said, I have not been reading the Philip Kennedy Johnson Superman book.
It's good. You should read it. I don't quite.
Part of me is waiting for it. Like, I know the first trade has come out, but, or is close to being out, but I'm waiting for it to come out in soft, or in paperback, since DC has a tendency to release things first in hardcover only, which is why I own three Jokers in hardcover only because I wanted to read the book but didn't want to wait for the book to be in paperback. Oh, I forgot. Dark Knights of Steel.
You've been praising that book. I saw.
Yes, I don't remember last time. I don't remember last time I read the first issue of a series and cursed at myself so many times, like going holy bleep. Like the way for those who haven't read Dark Knights of Steel, it's a 12-issue miniseries or maxi series by Tom Taylor and Yasmin Petrie, and it reimagines the DC universe as like in medieval era, and it starts on Krypton, Like, I'm just going to spoil the first couple pages. And Lara is pregnant. And instead of her giving birth and put Superman going, or Kal-El going into the ship, the three of them are, she doesn't give birth until her and Jor-El arrive on Earth.
Hmm.
So it's Superman, or Clark, or not even Clark, Kal, alive with his parents. And Batman is, he fits in perfectly with, like, his design fits in perfectly because he's Batman. And he fits in everywhere because he's the golden calf
of
DC Comics. And, like, they're different fiefdoms throughout the world. Like, Black Lightning is he's a king of a certain area, like, of his area. And the Merlin, or his like advisor is Constantine. And Green Lantern is not known as Green Lantern, is just known as the Green Man, I think. Either the Green Man or the Green One. And there are revelations made in the first issue about a certain character's bloodline. And I'm only four issues in out of the seven that are currently out of the additional three that are out right now. Like, the watercolor art style adds to the aesthetic.
I haven't actually seen any of the interior pages. Does it look like similar to what the covers are?
It's not as hyper as the cover. Like, and the in the issue I was reading, the Woman of the Woods, or the Woman of the Forest, is who you think it is. Like, exactly who you think it is. It's like I said this in the Giant Bomb comic group. I really wish this was more than more than 12 issues, because like I wish this was an ongoing. Because do you remember the DC Universe Online tie-in book?
Yes, I have it fully collected.
Tom Taylor wrote that, he wrote a majority of that.
I was gonna say, he wrote the tail end Injustice. Was he the one who wrote the tail end of the Earth 2 stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. He took over when James Robinson left the book.
I feel like he gets a lot of work when it comes to like alternate Earth stories.
Yeah, like Injustice, which you'd think would be doomed to fail because, like, I remember when Injustice first came out, or when that was a developing story, like, not even the comic, just the game, when I remember being on an old VGU podcast talking about Prime and James about Justice Lords episode of Justice League, using that as a reference. And yeah, Injustice, I'm forgetting the other one, the one most recent one.
Oh, Deceased?
Deceased. You think I'd remember with the name that catchy. Enough gushing about Tom Taylor. Let's talk about the Round Robin, which is back for another year.
To piggyback on that a little bit, just to get out something I want to mention. They've toyed with the idea of like doing the webtoon stuff. Specifically,
yeah,
the one I want to bring up is that Batman Wayne Family Adventures. And that might be an interesting way that DC could touch on like other stories that they want to have ongoing. Like, that way they wouldn't have to actually like put out a book if they were not comfortable on the business side of it, but they would continue to be able to tell these stories in a way that other people could read up on them. But like, that Batman Wayne Family Adventures is probably my favorite Batman content in a very long time. I love what they're doing there. Have you read any of it?
No, I'm not. I'm not really into, like, I'm not really that big into like webtoon.
I would suggest getting on there just to read that. Like I say, it's my favorite Batman stuff right now. It's less on the like Batman adventures and more about the like personal tight-knit relationships of the characters that are in the Batman family. But it's done in like this kind of like fun, joyful way that I wish the main comics would have. It's It's so much fun, Alan. It's I've laughed a number of times reading those webtoons. It's one of those things, like, I started reading it and fell in love with it so much, so I just binged the whole thing, and now I have to wait for every little bit to drop, and I hate it now that I have to wait because it's so damn good. Oh, Alan, I just hop on webtoons, find the link to that one, and then just check it every once in a while. I could suggest other webtoons to pick up if you wanted to know some, but Batman Wayne Family Adventures, I would highly recommend you checking out.
Okay, so how do you want to approach the round robin discussion?
So what is your opinion on the general round robin approach that they're doing? Because I think we both have some thoughts on it.
I really like it. I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot last year, where they showed their hand with literally every single series that was pitched or proposed. And this year they chose to wait and just give us very little. And do you mind if I just read all the
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Hawkman and Hawkwoman, the Changeling, takes versus Wildcat. Oh god, I can't read this.
You want me to go through it?
I think it's nine. Oh no, it's just okay, got it. Wildcat, Nine Lives, The Questions, Grand Solution, Constantine and the Demon, Vacation from Hell, Suicide Squad, Dark, versus Just League Redacted, Firestorm, Fourth World Problems, versus Kid Flash, The Speed of Fear, and on the other side, Black Canary, When Canaries Cry, versus Green Lantern on the, I think it's, okay, I can't read that.
The Green Lantern?
I want to say it's Green Lantern on this. The Green Lantern,
The Light at the End of Forever.
Yeah. Okay. Ghost Tour from Hell.
Yep. I want to DC say that World is. Presents Ghost Tour from Hell.
Owlman, The Metamorphosis. Green Lantern, The Birth of Conspiracy. Captain Carrot.
I love this one.
Superboy.
You cannot just stop with Captain Carrot. I need you to read that whole thing out. Captain Carrot and his best friend Darkseid.
Okay. Oh, I'm an idiot. So I was reading from the trying to read based off the image, but it turns out the website just had everything, like all the books.
Oh.
Like name and description. I'm an idiot. So yeah. Then there's Superboy, the Man of Tomorrow, versus Cyborg, Cyber Gods. And the biggest difference this year was there are no Batman related projects this time around, because
last year.
Yeah, because the Bat books they always sell, and there was controversy last year. The two front runners or the two ones that went head to head last year were Robbins and Just League Queer, or they were the highest vote getters. And Just League Queer has returned, or has appeared in anthology titles, and I might as well just bring this up because I kind of like, I'm a big fan of the character. One of the books that lost last year, the Blue Beetle book that was in the round robin tournament last year, is getting a full version, and this shows hope that like. Blue Beetle Graduation Day is coming soon.
Hopefully that means we'll see possibly other ones that were out there last year too, and some of the ones from this year.
Yeah, why don't you just go talk about your, like, I like the idea of giving audience or reader choice with this, as witnessed with many things in DC's history. Voting sometimes can be a bit of a negative. I'm not gonna bear the lead. Jason Todd.
Gets a crowbar to the back of the pitch,
and then just comes back 20 years later. I generally like this idea because it adds more connection like interactivity between the DC Comics, the company, the giant company, and the reader who wants to have an effect on said company.
I'm right with you on that. Like, it's cool to be able to see them like peel the curtain back a little bit, just so we can like,
we can't talk here on this podcast.
Yeah, it's just kind of cool to see them like, hey, here are some of the pitches that our creative teams have come up with. And, you know, we know what they're going to be about. We know, you know, we've seen some of the artwork from it. You know, we have the covers for it. It's pretty cool to see like that little bit of the creative process as to like seeing the pitches of stories that we may never have known about that were possibly could have been made. Like, think about like all these kind of pitches that have been made over the years that we will never know about. And so it's kind of nice to get just to see some of that, even if we may never see any of these in like a full release. But
okay, I just realized that. Okay, so apparently the round robin is still going, and the voting starts 3 days from now.
Okay.
On May 10th. Exclusively on DC Community within the DC Universe Infinite app or website. Hashtag not ad, hashtag not sponsored.
So yeah, I am glad that they changed it up a little bit this year, because, you know, like you've mentioned, that Batman books sell really well. So to have like any sort of Batman book in the running for a tournament seems like it's kind of lopsided in terms of popularity. And when you put it up against books like Justice League Queer, which as it is will probably have votes going against it just because it's a book with queer characters in it, because of a certain sect of the so-called fandom that refuses to see stuff like that represented, it leaves for a bit of a lopsided tournament in some areas. Like, even looking at this one, like, I can't imagine Wildcat has any chance against like a Green Lantern book or a Superboy book, like, just in terms of popularity. Like, as much as I love Wildcat, I just don't see that winning out. And so there's some problems I see with this, but on the flip side, it is still cool to see them potentially having a chance. But at the same front, with considering how miniseries friendly DC is being right now, I don't know why these ones are getting basically thrown on a chopping block, whereas others are just, yep, we'll publish you. Like, what makes these have to go through a popularity contest while the others don't? It's, I don't know. Good things and bad things about the round robin thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of the upcoming, I forgot to mention this because, yeah, I'm excited with whatever book wins. I forgot to mention this. There are certain books that are like limited series that are coming out soon, like in the summer. There's a Dark Crisis Young Justice tie-in, a DC mech book. I mean, I never thought it'd happen, but there's going to be a Sword of Azrael book, which it's just crazy to think of. And there's another book that Tom King is working on. It's a Black Label book called Danger Street. It's being mentioned as a deeply layered crime drama. And they're
pull back last year, specifically
using
Round Robin, because I feel like reimagining and updating last year that I was interested in than this year.
Obscure DC characters, like,
as a whole,
from the DC First Special Series from the 70s.
Come on, hold up here.
So, Starman, Metamorpho, Warlord.
I remember being interested in Green Lantern's Underworld on Fire, The Brave and the Bug, Crisis on Infinite Ambush, Zatanna, The King of Nightmares.
I am...
JLQ. Yeah, like, I think just in general, I had...
This is also the team that
pause did off the Justice League. Like, I don't know, they just seemed a little bit more out there last year in some areas.
Which I've also yet to read, but I'm excited because it's Tom King, Jorge Fornes, and Dave Stewart.
Which that was another thing I wanted to bring up, because we mentioned that Batman books are kind of plentiful right now and how popular they are. So, of course, they're going to be plentiful. Do you feel that DC is overdoing it with Batman books? Is there too much? Uh-oh. Did I lose you, Alan? Oh, no. Oh, no. Is it just me? Oh, no. I don't hear you, Alan. Okay. I don't know if Alan, if you're still here, so I'm just going to riff a little bit until I hear you again. So, yeah. Batman, one of the things I have seen on the Twitter comic side of things is that people are really kind of tired of all the Batman books that are out there, which I get. At the same time, I also understand DC's side of it, where if those are the books that are selling in your business, obviously you want to sell the things that will bring in the most money, especially if you can use that money to then turn around and fund other books. But I feel like people often forget just how many Batman books have been out there over the years. And so this isn't a collective Batman thing, but these are just ones that I have thought about that I know have existed over the last 20 years. And so here are all the ones that I knew offhand that I could jot down. Batman Detective Comics, Batman Gotham Knights, Superman Batman, Batman and the Outsiders, Batman and Robin, Batman Beyond, Batman Incorporated, Batman the Dark Knight, Batman Streets of Gotham, The Return of Bruce Wayne, Bruce Wayne the Road Home, Batman Gates of Gotham, Batman Year 100, Batman the Widening Gyre, Batman County Line, Batman Jekyll and Hyde, and then some Batman adjacent ones like Azrael, Agent of the Bat, and Death's Dark Knight, Red Robin, Harley Quinn, Robin, Joker's Asylum, Catwoman, Gotham City Sirens, Batgirl, Nightwing, Gotham Underground, Gotham Central, Joker, The Man Who Laughs. You could maybe work Trinity, that weekly series in there. You have the Grayson. Basically, the whole idea is that the Batman books have always been there. They have always been plentiful. So I can't say I'm really surprised or disappointed that they're still there, because I've kind of gotten used to it at this point, though it would be nice to see DC branch out a bit and do other books. Like, you know, I think maybe having, I don't know, there's plenty of other characters, DC. I don't care if you bring back a Justice League International series. Sure, why not? I'm a fan of Kate Spencer Manhunter. Do that. What's Ambush Bug up to right now? Clearly he's can't win a round robin tournament, so bring him back for something else. But, you know, even something like, I remember people being upset about that Joker book, because people were acting like Joker has had so many solo series over the years. But even that solo book is not really even a Joker book. It's more of a Jim Gordon book, if anything. I understand why people dislike all the Batman stuff, but at the same time, I don't mind. I don't completely mind. If I don't want to read them, I won't read them. I'll pick up the other stuff. But yeah, I can't say I'm surprised they're doing it. Okay, so apparently the recording just dropped out. I can see Alan still in here, but we cannot hear each other. I hope it downloads. I hope it downloads so bad. So I guess I will just wrap up here. Technically the last thing Alan and I wanted to bring up was DC Pride 2022. They were going to publish a basically 104-page prestige comic featuring LGBTQIA+, I think is everything. But yeah, they're going to, I think it's on June 7th that they're going to release that book. Arrives on June 7th. They're going to have quite a few teams, stuff from Devin Grayson, Stephanie Williams, even... Funny enough, someone who I did not realize was part of the LGBTQ community. Kevin Conroy, Batman himself. Yeah, it looks like there's a number of stories that's going to be in it. I'm sure it's going to be great. And let's face it, it's featuring characters and representation that needs to be in the mainline books more often. So even if it gets pushback from, as I've mentioned before, a certain group of people in the so-called community who dislike stuff like this because apparently if you are representing anything else other than straight white men, sometime I guess you're pandering or being too political or whatever other kind of stupid trash they want to claim. But yeah, DC Pride, their prestige comic, will be out on June 7th. Check it out. Some great creative teams on it. And I'm sure the stories will be fantastic as well. So, but yes, after... Okay, I guess I'll see how badly this gets butchered, assuming everything goes through fine after it ends. So yeah, this was our Hypertime Hiatus episode. Thank you for listening. Please, I hate doing outros. Check us out on Twitter. I don't Twitter nearly enough, but we are at Hypertime Pod over there. Check out our site, VGU.TV. You can also follow us on YouTube at VGU.TV. It's the stuff that gets more recent content, and we plan on putting out even more. You can follow Alan on Twitter at the Alan Muir. That's TheAlanMuir. And I am over at jmille99. That's JMILLE99. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to have any more Hypertime Hiatus episodes before we do our full blown episodes later this year. I will be going on the nightly work routine here in a couple weeks, which means my mornings will be open up, which is typically when I do the most, the best kind of research. So hopefully I can get that done. Hopefully we'll be set come later this year. And yeah, anyways, rate, review, all that kind of stuff. I appreciate it. Alan appreciates it. And yeah, with that, I will bid you adieu, and we will see you for the next Hypertime. Take care. Bye.
This has been a VGU.TV production. For all of the hottest hot takes and other opinions on video games, music, and a lot more, tune in to VGU.TV.